Today's shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Tes. We begin at the Mishnah at the very bottom of Kuf Mem Ches Omibes, four lines from the bottom. The Mishnah tells us an interesting din which many people may not be aware of. Mona Adam es Orchov v'es Parperosov mipiv. A person, when he wants to go and invite people to his house on Shabbos or Yontif, so he goes and he makes accounting of who he's going to invite. And in his mind, he's allowed to say, yeah, I'm going to invite Yanko, I'm going to invite Reuven and Shimon, and I'm going to have these types of delicacies. Piperoso, Rashi explains, or mine madadim. So I'm going to have the chopped liver, I'm going to have the fish, I'm going to have all the different things. So a person is allowed to do that in his mind. He can say it mipiv. He's allowed to say it out loud. I'm going to have so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. However, avolo min hakisov, but he's not allowed to read it from a written note. He's not allowed to have it from something in front of him that he's actually reading from. Rashi explains, "Im kosam erev Shabbos." Talking about, of course, he wrote it on erev Shabbos, and he says, "Kach v'kach orchem ploni uploni zimanti." So and so are the guests that I've invited. He shouldn't read from that list on Shabbos morning. Why? He wrote him down. Kadesh lo yishkochem. He wrote him down. He shouldn't forget who he's inviting. So lo yikare bioso ksav b'Shabbos. He shouldn't go and read from this writing on Shabbos morning. Because the concern will be, as the Gemara will explain, that he's going to see, oh, I don't have enough food, we ran out of this stuff spoiled, and he's going to take this list, and he's going to cross off some names from it, and give it to a shamus to go and invite these people. But we're concerned that he's going to come and erase some of the names. That will be the Gemara's explanation. Then the Mishnah says, likewise, Mephis Adam in Banov in Bnei Beso ala Shulchan, you're allowed to go and do a lottery. You're allowed to go and be what we call mephis, which is a pious, which is, Rashi says, metil fayis lechalik mi magia komonimon. So you're going to do some sort of a lottery to divide up. Well, this person gets this slice, this person gets that slice, this piece, and you're allowed to do that with your family, with your bnei beso, the people that are on your table, so to say, people that are part of your family. However, even there, the Mishnah says, although we'll say that this isn't correct from the Gemara, we'll say there's a chisur emesor, there's some things missing over here, but we'll say, you're only allowed to do this when it's not really a larger piece versus a smaller piece. As Rashi says, you shouldn't do this that when one piece is larger, one piece is smaller, that the person who wins the lottery should get the larger piece, and the person who doesn't win the lottery, the person who loses the lottery, gets a smaller piece. That you're not allowed to do. But you have five chicken thighs, so you'll have to do a lottery, and you get this one, you get that one. They're all roughly the same, but as people are wont to do, I want this one, I want that one, and therefore you can do a lottery when they're all roughly the same. We're all explained that for your family, you're allowed to do it even for a larger one against a smaller one. It's for other people that you're not allowed to do this. And finally, the Mishnah concludes and says, the Kohanim likewise, Metilim Chaloshin, Rashi says Chaloshin are Gorolos. I'm not sure why the Mishnah changes around the Loshin over here and says here Metilim Chaloshin as opposed to before it was Mephis Adam. But in any event, the Kohanim are allowed to make a lottery al hakotchim biyontif for different types of portions of the korbanos. So they're allowed to go and say, you get this portion, I get that portion. So you can do a lottery system for the kotchim, however, avolo al hamonos, but not for the portions. What does that mean? The Gemara will say that this is talking about things that were decided before yontif. You're not allowed to do a lottery for them on yontif. Okay, we turn. That was the Mishnah, very enigmatic, a lot of discussions that we're going to now have on this Mishnah. So the Mishnah begins and says, "My taima, what is the reasoning why you're allowed to say this orally? I'm going to invite Yankel and Reuven and Shimon, but you're not allowed to write it down beforehand." So we have a machlokis over here. Rabbi Bibi says the reason I'm allowed to do this is, as I mentioned, Gezeiro Shemo Yimchok. This is the first reason that I brought down when we said the Mishnah. So the concern is that you're not going to have enough food for all your guests, Rashi says. You're going to be sad and upset that you're going to want to retract the fact that you invited these people. So since you didn't really invite them, you're going to go and cross their names off from the list, and you're going to give it to your shamish and say, get these four people instead of the six people that you originally had, and you crossed off two of them from the list. So Shema Yimchok. That's Rav Bibi's approach. Abaye Omar, Gezeira Shema Yikra Bishtori Hedyotos. Abaye has a totally different reason. He says the concern is, if we allow you to read this menu, if you allow you to read this invitation list, so then it's going to be very quick that you're going to go and also read Shtori Hedyotos. What are Shtori Hedyotos? So Rashi explains that Shtori Hedyotos are Shomekach v'Memkar. This is talking about business transactions. You're going to read contracts. And that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos Yontif. So therefore, if you're allowed to read this, it's going to be a very slippery slope and you're quickly going to read something else. Tosa says that Rashi previously explained in Kol Kisve on Daf Kuf Yod Zayin that it meant even letters, igaros, hashluchos limtso chayfes. So there are letters that are sent out. Can you know, anybody lose this or anybody lose that? You know, we want to help you find your things. So they would send out letters saying that I lost such a thing. So any type of letter isn't allowed to be read as well. So if we allow you to read this menu, this list of invitations, who you're inviting, so then you may come to quickly do something else. Practically, my benai, is there an afkamina between Rav Bibi's Shemo Yimchok and Abaye's Shemo Yikra B'shtori Yadyotos? So Gemara says, yeah, Ike benayu, the kosav akosel umidle. Yeah, the difference would be, where did you write this invitation list? If you wrote it high up on the wall, akosel means on the wall, umidle means higher up on the wall. So, like Rashi says, "Einu magia l'shom limchok." It's too high for you to reach it. I guess without a ladder, how do you get written up there? So, but you can't easily reach it, and therefore you won't come to go get a ladder. By the time you get a ladder, you remember that it's Shabbos, and you're not allowed to erase it. So, in this situation, the difference would be l'mandi amashem yimchok, according to Rabbi Bibi, says the reason why we don't allow you to read this invitation list is because you may come to erase it. Lo chashinan. We're not concerned you come to erase it. It's too high up. You can't erase it easily. You'll remember by the time you get the ladder to go and erase it, that it's Shabbos. However, the one who says that you may come to read Shtari Hedyotos, so yeah, of course, chashinan. Why would this make any difference whether it's written on a piece of paper or it's written on your wall? It's the reading is the problem, so you can read it on the wall high up, so you may come to take out Shtari Hedyotos. So therefore, that would be the Nafkamina, according to the first reason that the Gemara gives over here, the cause of Akosel Umidle. Gemara says, wait a second, Umandi Omar Shema Yimchok, according to Rabbi, who's concerned about erasing it, so Necho Shema Yikra, why is he not concerned about the reading it? That's a valid reason. He should also say Abaye's reason, that and in addition, Shema Yimchok. So there's two reasons. Furthermore, are you telling me that if it's high up, we're not concerned they'll erase it? But we learned in a Mishnah earlier in the Masech, the very beginning, first parak, we said, Lo Yikril Oranir. We said, you're not allowed to go and read by a candelabra, by a lamp on Shabbos, because we're concerned that you're going to come to adjust the lamp, and when you adjust the lamp, you're going to make the lamp go out a little bit, and maybe light a little bit better, and there would be problems with kibuy or havara on Shabbos. And Rabbah commented on that, Yom Rabbah, about that Mishnah. Rabbah said, it's a low plug. We don't make any differentiations between whether you can easily adjust the lamp or not. He said, this is true, that we don't let you read by the light of a lamp. Afilu gavosh te komos, even if it's twice the size of a person's coma is roughly 6 feet. So even if it's 12 feet, even if it's twice the height of a person, or even if it was twice the amount of the whip that you go and hit the ox with, so this is a certain length of this goad and this mardas, this whip that you'd go to hit the ox with, so even twice the length of that is again a certain set amount, or afilu asara batim, even if the lamp is on the top of 10 apartment on top of the building, so even if it's 10 batim, one on top of the other, so you're still not allowed to read lo yikare, because we're concerned lo plug, that once we say you're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do this. So if in fact Rabibi's reason is you were concerned you're going to erase it, so we shouldn't make a distinction whether it's quote within easy reach or whether it's not within easy reach. Skumar says, Yataka, you're right. Skumar says, that's not the reason. That's not the difference between them, the Kosel Umidle. Ella, Ikemenaya, the following is the difference between Rabibi Shema Yimchok and Abaye's Shema Yikra. So he says, the Kosav Akosel Umitate, it's very, very low down on the bottom of the wall. That's when there's the halach lemaisa, the distinction between them, the ika benayu. Why is that? L'mandio m'shem yimchok, according to Rav Bibi, who says we're concerned about erasing it, chashina, so it's very easily within reach. We're concerned that you'll erase it over here as well. However, Laman the Omar Shema Yikwa, according to Abaye, who says the concern is that you may come to reach Dari Hedyotos, here we're not concerned, Lo Chayshina, when it's very low down on the wall. Why? Because Guda Bishtara Lo Michlav. We're not concerned that you're going to make a distinction and say, well, if I can read this on the wall, so then I can go read a Shtar. That we're not concerned about. Tosus asks the obvious question in the third Tosus, Ela Ika Benayu. So then, what difference does it make whether it's written low down on the wall, in the middle of the wall, or high in the wall? If we're saying that a person won't come to read a Shtar Hedyotos if he reads from a wall because there's a difference between a wall and a ladder, so then what difference does it make where on the wall you write it? So Tosu says that in fact, because everybody holds like this opinion of Rabba, that we're concerned that it doesn't make any difference whether it's high up on the wall or low down on the wall. This concern that Rabba said with the lamb, everybody holds from, that was Likulei Alma. So therefore, Tosa says, I don't understand why we said that it was written low down on the wall and not high up on the wall. Others say, no, low down on the wall, it in fact could be thought of that maybe this would be like a paper. And therefore, the chiddush of the Gemara, that if it's low down on the wall, even there, you're not going to make a jump and say that if I read it on the wall, I'm going to read it from a letter. Okay, in any event, Tosu's question, a very good question. So he says, you're right, Taka, that's not the right answer as well. So, Laman Yomar, Shema Yikra, Lachush, Shema Yimchok. Gemara says, okay, so according to the Laman Yomar, Abaye, it says, you may come to read it, so we should be concerned. Shema Yimchok, he should be concerned that you come to erase as well. Why is one exclusive to the other? So again, they both should be saying that it shouldn't be allowed. Someone says, you're right. El Ikabanai. So this is the real reason between the two. This is the nafkamina between Abaye and Rabbibi. The chayik atabla via pinkos. When a person chiseled it into some sort of a tabla, it's like a tablet, and a pinkos was be like his ledger. So this was like a stone type of a implement, and he chiseled in the names of the people that he was inviting. So Laman Diyama Shema Yimchok, according to the opinion of Rabbibi, they were concerned that you may come to erase it. Lo Chayshina, you can't erase such a thing. It's chiseled in. It's engraved into this rock, into this stone. And therefore, there's no concern you may come to erase it. However, Laman Diyama Shema Yikwa, according to the one that says, if you go and read this, you may come to go and read Shtari Yotos, so then Chayshina. So according to Abaye, you have to be concerned. Oh, here's the Nafkamina between the two. Rabbibi would allow you to go and read from this chiseled out menu or invitation list, and Abaye would not. Or says, still, even according to Mandiyoma, Rabbibi, who says, you may come to erase it, so okay, still, the reasoning of Abaye, that you may come to reach Shtari Hedyotos, that's a valid reason. So even if you don't think it's a Shema Yimchok concern over here, it still should be a Shema Yikra concern. So Rabbibi should still not allow it. He should say Shema Yimchok and Shema Yikra. You're going to tell me, v'chitema, tavla upinkos v'shtar lo michlof. You're going to say, no, that's too far-fetched that if a person will read this engraved type of a thing, that he'll go read a letter, and maybe he doesn't hold from either of them, that Rabbibi doesn't hold from Shema Yimcho, and he doesn't hold from Shema Yikra. So that's not true. But Tanya, we learned in a braitza, mona odom kama mibifnim v'kama mibichutz. A person is allowed to go and count, again, where he's going to put his guests. He's going to put, Rashi says, the chosh of a guest on the inside in a nice comfortable spot, and he's going to put the less chosh of a guest on the outside. Actually says, as me, for me, Oshib Bifnim, who's going to put on the inside, the Mokum HaMechubad, in the honored positions, yes, me, for me, Oshib Bachot, who's going to put in the outside, the less honored position, in the bleachers, Sheino Kokach Sefunin, they're not that's such a good place to sit. So therefore, that's what the Brisa says, the person is allowed to count this, not to state who he's going to put inside and outside. The kabamonos also l'nich l'vehem, and he's allowed to say, you know, we're going to serve the fish over here, and serve the chicken over there, and he's allowed to read this miksav shal gabi akoso from a list that is written down on the wall. So you can read it from writing that's on the wall. However, alo miksav shal gabi tavlo upinkus, but it says beferish, you can't read it from this tavlo and pinkus. Now, what are we talking about? Hechidami ilema. If it's written down on a regular type of a tablo and pinkos that is with ink, with michtav, so then, so what difference would it be between we said that you're allowed to write it on the wall, but you're not allowed to write it from this Tavla and Pinchas. They're both writing that could be erased. They're both writing that are identical, that could be read. So therefore, if one is not allowed, the other one should not be allowed. So if you can't write it on the Tavla Pinchos, you should be able to write it on the wall. Elav dechayik, aren't we talking here about that it's chiseled in, it's engraved into the wall, it's chok, it's chiseled out. Uktani, miksav shagabi akosa, you're allowed to read it from. Avolo miksav shagabi Tavla Pinchos, but you're not allowed to read it from the Tavla Pinchos. So you see that the Gemara does make a distinction in this situation in the Braisa between the wall and the Tavla of the Pinchos. But we see that the Tavla and Pinchas, even if it's chiseled in, is something that we're concerned, Shema Yikra. So therefore, that distinction between Abaya and Rabibi, again, is incorrect. So Gemara says, you're right. Everything is a problem, but we'll go back to our original answer. Elali Olam, the cause of Akosul Midle. We'll go back to the first answer that we gave and we rejected, and now we'll explain why we don't reject it. So the Gemara says, we're actually talking about where it's written high up on the wall. Why? We say that Rabba makes no distinction, low plug, whether it's written low, high, or medium. If you, but from adjusting the lamp, we don't make such a distinction. So to Ovia, we don't make a distinction whether it's easily erased or not. He said, no, this din of Rabba is not Likuli Alma, like we said before. Before we said everybody holds a Rabba, and now we're going to suggest, no, the Rabba Tanoihi. In fact, what Rabba said is a machlokes Tanoihim. The Tanya, because we learned in another Braisa, Mona Odemes Orchov, yes, Piperosov, Mipiv, Avalomin Aksav. This sounds like our Mishnah, but it has additional parts to it, so it's going to be a Braisa. So a person is allowed to go and say that I'm going to have this many guests and I'm going to have this type of food, these delicacies for them. However, he's only allowed to say it. He's not allowed to go and read it from a piece of paper. But that's the opinion of the Tanakama. Rabbi Acha, who's another Tana, says, no, Matir Miksav Shagabi Akos. He says, you are allowed to read it from something that's written on the wall. Now, what are we talking about? Hechidami. Ilema Dirsiv Mitato. If it's written low on the wall, so then, Lecho Shamim Chok. Then we should be concerned that you can come to erase it. So even Rav Acha wouldn't allow it. Ela what? Elav de Kosav Umidle. It must be that it's written a high up on the wall where it's not easy to go and erase it. And by the time you get your ladder, you'll remember, oh, I'm not Shabbos, I'm not allowed to erase it. And therefore, Shema Mina, the Rabba Tanoihi. This idea of low plug is a machlokes. Rabba holds like the Tanakama. It doesn't make a difference where on the wall it is. But Rav Acha is this other opinion that says, we do say plug. We do make a distinction as to where it's written, Ushmamina, the Rabba Tanoihi, Shmamina. Oh, this is a good proof. Not everybody agrees with the Rabba, and therefore we can say the distinction between Rabbi and Abai is where on the wall it's written. If it's written high up on the wall, and you hold not like Rabba, you hold like Rabbi Acha, so then we are not concerned in this situation that you may come to erase it, because by the time you went to get the ladder to climb up to go and erase it, you're going to remember it's Shabbos, and therefore that's the distinction between Rabbi and Abaya, according to Rabbi Acha, not like Rabba. And in fact, this machlokes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Acha is v'ho tanoi kehani tanoi. These two Tanoim, the Tanakama and Rabbi Acha, are actually also parallel to another machlokes we have with the Tanoim, the Tanya, another Braisa. In Rohan B'marabi Shabbos, are you allowed to look into a mirror on Shabbos? No, so the Tanakama says, you're not allowed to look in a mirror on Shabbos because of a concern. If you look in the mirror and you say, just I look a little schlumpy, I better go and cut my hair, you're going to forget it. Shabbos, you're going to cut your hair. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. Rameir Mati B'mara HaKavua B'Koso. Rameir says, it depends. If this mirror is attached to the wall, it's fixed to the wall, so then you're allowed to go and look in it. We're not concerned you're going to go cut your hair. However, if it's not attached to the wall, we are concerned. So Gemara asks the obvious question, Maishno HaKavua B'Kosel, what's the difference between if it's attached to the wall, it's not attached to the wall? How does that help you in deciding you're going to cut your hair or not? Forget it's Shabbos and cut your hair. So Gemara says, Yad Hachi V'Hachi Mitka. Because Gemara wants to suggest, because if it's attached to the wall, so by the time you go get yourself a scissors and have to come back to where it's attached to the wall, so then you remember that it's Shabbos. Gemara says, so how's that any different? Shein kavu nami. Even if it's not fixed to the wall. So by the time you go get the scissors, adahochi v'hochi mitka, you'll remember. So that can't be the distinction. Ella, what's the distinction over here between the Tanakama and Rav Meir? Tanakama not allowing you to go and look in a mirror that's affixed to the wall, and Rav Meir says you can. So he says, hocho b'marishol matecha saskini. You know what? We're talking about a mirror that has metal corners. And this goes uchid Rav Nachman am Rabbi Rav Huah. This goes in accord with what Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabbi Rav Huah. Dama Rav Nachman am Rabbi Rav Huah mipnei ma amru ma'aresh lo mateches asura. Why is a metal type of a mirror forbidden to be looked at on Shabbos? Because the metal is sharp, and when you look at this mirror, instantaneously you're going to say, oh, this hair is a little bit disheveled here, I better cut it. And before you know it, you take the hair and you cut it against the metal part of the mirror. And therefore, there won't be time for you to remember. So therefore, Rav Meir says, if it's a metal mirror, we don't allow you to look at it. Because it's too easy to go to cut off the hair. But if it's not a metal mirror, you won't go so quickly. So that's the distinction between the Tanakhama and Rav Meir, whether you make this low plug or not. The Tanakhama says low plug. Oh, that's just like Rabbah. And Rav Meir holds like Rabbi Yacha that we make a plug, we make a distinction. In this situation, we're concerned, and in this situation, we're not concerned. Gemara brings out another braisa, Tanu Rabbanon, Kisav HaMahalich Tachas HaTzura V'Tachas HaDiyuknos. If you have writing, you have like a legend underneath a tzura, picture. You have the plaque underneath the picture telling you about the picture. Or underneath the diukanos. The diukanos, Rashi explains, Kinyon b'nei Adam ha-mitzayrim b'kosel chayos mishunos. If a person, he writes on a wall, he writes on a fresco, all beautiful pictures, he draws beautiful pictures on the wall. Oh, pictures of a person, or diuknos, shel bnei adam, shel maisim, stories. He has a picture over there of David defeating Goliath, and then he puts a caption underneath it, because in tachtel, zutzur es chayaplonis, this lion over here, or this is a picture of David and Goliath. So in this situation, it's osur. You're not allowed to go and read such things. The braisa tells us, sav hamale, tachas etzur, v'tachas ediuknos, also likos b'shabbos. Now we read on Shabbos. And Rashi brings the reason down again, because if you read this caption, then you may come to read Shtari Yedotos. But then the Braisa says, Udiokna Atzma, but to look at the picture itself, before we're talking about looking at the caption, to look at the picture itself, Af Bechol Osu L'Stakel Bo, you're not even allowed to look at it on a weekday, because of the Pasuk, Mishum Shenema, Al Tifnu Elo Elilim, you're not allowed to go and turn towards idols. What does that mean? My Tamuda, what's the drush over here? So Amar Rabbi Chanan says, Al Tifnu El Midatchem, don't go and turn away from Hashem and follow your own thoughts. Rashi says, El Asher Atem Osin Midas Levavchem. So he says, don't go and do what you want to do. Follow what I tell you to do. And Rashi explains that this is a play on the words, Al Tifnu El Ho Elilim. So Elilim is like the Chalol Shalochem. So therefore, don't do what you want. Elilim Loshum Chalolim, Rashi says, and therefore, don't do what you want, do what I want. And Hashem said, don't go and gaze at these Elilim, at these idols. So therefore, don't look at these pictures. So therefore, on a weekday, you can't even look at the pictures. And on Shabbos, you can't read the captions. Okay. Whether this is Aloch L'maisa is a whole big discussion in Shulchan Aruch. And our purpose isn't to go to get to the Halach L'maisa. That would take us too long to go through all the Shulchan Aruch. But suffice to say that there are heterim for a person to go look at such pictures. Mishnah is quoted again and says, Mefis Adam in Bani V'chule, we said that the person is allowed to do a lottery and apportion the food to his children based upon this lottery. You get this piece, you get that piece. So Gemara says that implies in Bani V'nei B'esov, in, you're allowed to have this lottery with your own family members. However, v'im acher lo, but with other people, you're not allowed to have a lottery. So my time up, why should there be such a distinction? So Gemara says, Yehuda Amar Shmuel, because this is based upon what Yehuda Amar Shmuel said. What do they say? Yomar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, B'nei Chabura, if people in a group are contentious with each other, they're, hey, I want that piece, I want that piece. They're going to fight with each other. So then, over it, if they go and do this, what's going to happen? If you allow them to start having lotteries, they're going to be over on a lot of hilchos of Shabbos and Yontif, such as Mishum Mida. They're going to say, hey, I want this piece, and your piece is bigger than mine. So they're going to start measuring the pieces. Not allowed to measure on Shabbos and Yontif. Mishum Mishka, say, hey, yours is a weightier piece than mine. So they're going to start measuring the pieces to make sure that, no, I think it's the same weight. And then do measuring on Shabbos and Yontif. Mishum Minyan, they're going to start doing various types of counting that is prohibited. So again, certain types of things you're allowed to count on Shabbos, but certain types of things you're not allowed to count on Shabbos. So they're going to do prohibited type of counting on Shabbos. Likewise, Mishum Lov and Uparit, they're going to start doing business transactions types of arrangements. Okay, I'll take two pieces today, and I'll lend you one from last week, and we'll make all sorts of arrangements, and these types of business arrangements aren't allowed. Mishum Lov and Uparit. And finally, it says you're not allowed to do this on Yontif. It also means on Yontif or on Shabbos as well. We turn to the Amud Beis. Uchidivrei Hillel af Mishum Ribbis. The Gish should be Hillel. It says on the side, we have Beis Hillel here, but it really should be Hillel. So, and in addition to the problems we have with the measuring and the weighing, etc., according to Hillel, there's also a problem of Ribbis. This is what we called earlier, saw b'saw. You lend a loaf of bread and you give back a loaf of bread. Well, you have to be concerned that the price of the bread went up. So to over here, if I give you a piece of chicken now and next week I'll get a different piece of chicken, we'll make up for it. There's only one piece of chicken, so you get it this week and I'll make a deal with you and I'll get it next week. So then there's a concern of ribbis. This week the chicken's worth 99 cents a pound, the next week it'll be worth $1.19 a pound, and therefore it'll be a problem. Where it says, if this is so, Ihochi, that you're not allowed to do this lottery system for other people because they're makpid themselves there, so nami. So how does it make it permissible to do this with your family? Won't the same concerns of maybe you come to measure occur with the family? This kid's going to say he wants this piece, this kid's going to say he wants that piece. No, it's not fair. You have a bigger piece. No, you have a smaller piece. They come to measure and do all sorts of things that are prohibited as well. Where it says, no. Banuv of Nebdei, so in your household, you're allowed to make this lottery. Hainu taima. This is in accord with Yudam Arab said in another statement. What did they say? Yudam Arab, Mutu Lahavos Bonov of Nebeso Beribis. Technically, you own everything in your house. So even if the kids say, okay, I'll take this piece this week, but next week I get the chicken, and this week it's 99 cents, and next week it's $1.19, so then that would be a concern of saw basaw of ribbits that I'm exchanging one thing for another thing when they're not the same value. So I got the piece of 99 cents, but I'm giving you the piece of $1.19. That's a chashash of ribbits. So it doesn't apply over here because it's your household. So you're allowed to go and do this ribbis-like activity in your household to teach the kids, k'dei la'at'imon, tam ribbis. When this person says, oh, wow, I wish I hadn't done this. I got a piece last week, but now I'm giving you back a much bigger piece, a much more expensive piece. I wish I hadn't done this. It's going to teach them the problems of ribbis. So a father, since it's all his anyway, it's not really a ribbis concern, is allowed to do this to teach his children the taste of the bitter taste of ribbis, if you wish. So Gemara says, okay, if that's the case, yachi, so then mona gadola kineged mona katana nami. So then why do we say in the Mishnah you can only do this if they're all equal, if they're shove? The pieces are roughly the same. Oh, this one wants that one, so then you can do a lottery. But if they're different sizes, we said you can't. Why not? If it's only to teach them the tam of ribbis, so then why can't you do a lottery and say, hey, listen, you got lucky, you got the bigger piece, you got unlucky, you got the smaller piece. Where it says, Taki, you're right. In fact, the Chisurim Esther, as I mentioned, our Mishnah's missing pieces over here. This is what our Mishnah is really telling us. This is the din. A person is allowed to do a lottery with his family on his house. Anybody who's dependent on him for his meal is allowed to be included in this lottery. And this is true, afilu mona gedola kineged mona katana, even if the pieces are different sizes. And he's going to do a lottery. Who wants the biggest piece? Whoever wins the lottery will get the biggest piece. Whoever loses the lottery will get a smaller piece. You're allowed to do that with B'nai Beiso. Why? My time. Because as we said, we're allowed to do this because there's no ribbis concern. The whole problem is the ribbis concern of saw b'saw. I'm giving you this piece this time, and you're getting that piece next time that's more expensive, and therefore it's a ribbis concern. And you're allowed to do this because we said, Yudam Rav said, k'dei la'atimam tam ribbis. So that's not a problem. But that's only in Banov Ubnei Beis, so in, because you own everything, and therefore, there is no concern of real ribbis. However, in Acherim Lo, but with other people, you're not allowed to do this, not only for Mona Gedola, Kinegi Mona Katana, but even if they're Shava, because it comes to lead to measuring. In Acherim Lo, my time up, Kiru Yudah Mashur, that's in accord with what Yudah Mashur said, because Mona Gedola, Kinegi Mona Katana, Af Bechol, Liacherim is also. He says, you're not allowed to do that even on a weekday, because you know what? This is gambling. Mishum Kovya. You're not allowed to do this on Shabbos, because if you come to do it on Shabbos, you're going to come to do it on a weekday. And this is basically teaching them gambling here. So let's roll the dice and see who gets the bigger portion. That's why you're not allowed to do it. Again, the whole discussion of whether you can gamble or not on a weekday, that's a whole separate discussion. In general, one should not gamble. There are heterim sometimes for a fun type of a game, like playing something on Purim, to have rolling the dreidel and giving a little bit of money if you get a gimel and losing a little money if you get a shin. So that type of gambling might be permitted under certain situations. In any event, that's not the purpose of our shir as well. Now we quote the Mishnah, which says, "Matila chaloshin al v'chule," that the Kohanim are allowed to go and do a lottery to divide up the korbanos, but not to divide up the portions. So what exactly does this mean? So I already alluded to this. The Gemara says, "My avalo alamonos." What does it mean? You're not allowed to divide it up for the sections, the portions of the korbanos. So Rav Yaakov, Rav Bas Yaakov, Rav Yaakov, who was the grandson of Yaakov through his daughter. It doesn't mention Rav Yaakov's father, because it says on the side in many places we've had this, that his daughter was married to a not-so-nice person, and therefore the Gemara didn't want to mention Rav Yaakov's father. So it said, the daughter, Mestama, she was a nice daughter, and the daughter of Bas Yaakov. So it says, Rav Yaakov, who was the daughter of his grandfather Yaakov. In any event, we have this discussion when a person gets called up for an aliyah, and his father is a well-known Rasha, so we can sometimes call him up by the grandfather as well. In any event, what did he say? Rav Yaakov, Brei de Bas Yaakov said, Avolo al hamonos shochol biyontif. The Kohanim aren't allowed to do a lottery for the portions that already were apportioned out before Yontif, before Shabbos started, because that was something that you should have done before Yontif started, so we don't allow you to do it on Yontif. Of course, it says, Pshita, obviously, I wouldn't need a Mishnah to go tell me that. That's Hachana. So, of course, you're not allowed to do something like this. You have to go and divide it up that day. Why would you be allowed to go and divide it up on Yontif? So Gemara says, no, I might have thought you could. Ma'al detema, I would have said this is an exception to the rule. Ho luksiv, since the apostle says, the amcho kimirive kohen, since people are known to be, you know, in fights, in a riv, in an argument, just like the Kohanim. Kohanim are often strong-headed, and the Gemara tells us that they would get into fights, possibly. We have the various stories when they didn't have the lottery, how they would run up to the top of the ramp, and the winner would get the rights to do the korbanos. And sometimes they would get into fights and push each other, and it caused a lot of potential physical damage, and therefore they change it to the lottery system. So, Amcho Kimrive Kohen, you're fighting like the Kohanim do fight. So therefore, Afilu Monos Dechol Nami. So I might have thought, in order to prevent fights, that if we didn't divide up the pre-Yontif Korbanos, you'd be allowed to go and divide them up on Yontif to prevent fights amongst the Kohanim. Kamashallah, no, that's the Chiddush, that you're not allowed to do this as well. No, we mentioned a statement, this Rav Yaakov, Brei de Bas Yaakov, is not the most common Amora in the Gemara, so they would often lump many of the members of a person that's not so common together in order to facilitate memory, because they did this all by heart. So we have another member, the Amor of Yaakov, Brei de Bas Yaakov, another member that he said, Kol Shechaveru Nene Shayado, even has nothing to do with our Gemara, but again, it's listed because of the man the Yomer who said it. If you cause somebody to get hurt because of your actions, Kol Shechaveru Nene Shayado, because of what you did, somebody else gets punished. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not happy about that, and he says, I don't want you in my room. I don't want you to be with me, within my mechitza. Where do we see this from? That even if you appropriately, so to say, cause somebody else to get punished, you're held accountable in some way. Minolan, where do you know this from? So we're going to give several suggestions. It starts off and says, maybe it's in the following case. Ilema Mishum Dirsev, famous pasuk that we have in Melachim. So it says, in Melachim Aleph, Vayomer, it says, Hashem said, "Mi yifate es Achav v'yal." Who is going to go and take care of Achav, and then go up v'yipol b'Ramos Gilad and make them get destroyed in Ramos Gilad? Vayomer, and along came some of the angels in Shemayim and said, "Ze b'ko, ze omer b'ko." This one said, "I'll do it in this way. I'll do it in that way." And then it says, "Vayetze ruach." One spirit came. One angel came, we'll see in a moment who this was, Vayamud ibn Hashem, and this Ruach stood before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, Vayomer, Ani afatenu v'gomer. I will be the one that will cause Achav to go and get into trouble, and he will fall in Rabbos Gilad. And he said this, I will go and do this. And Hashem said, Vayomer, Eitze, Vayisi Ruach Sheker b'fi kol neviyav. I will go and put a false prophecy into the mouths of his neviim. And Hashem said, good. V'gam tuchol, v'yomer tifate, v'gam tuchol, tzei v'asechein. So Hashem said, good, go. Gesunte, go. What does it mean? V'yamrinan, my ruach. Who is this ruach? So the Gemara tells us, Amar of Yochanan, ze ruchol shel novos. This was the spirit of novos. Very interesting background story that the Gemara tells us elsewhere in Sanhedrin, that in fact, novos was a cousin of Achav and Izebel, and he had a very, very nice kerem, and they wanted his kerem very much, and they offered to buy it from him, and he refused to sell it. It was his family's kerem, and he didn't want it to go out from his possession, even though it was going to his cousin. And they concocted a plan that they said that he was Oved Avodah Zarah, or he was blaspheming against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they brought false witnesses, and they killed him. Now, the rule was either that everything that from a person was killed, Mises Beis Din, would go, all of his property would go to the king, or that they were the closest relatives, and his property went to them. In any event, Novos was killed falsely. Gemara has an interesting reason that he was a chazan, and that year he decided he's no longer going to be a chazan, and therefore his usefulness, so to say, was no longer needed. And Hashem said, okay, so if you're no longer needed, you're no longer going to be the chazan. You decided not to do. I gave you this gift to be the chazan, and you're not going to be the chazan anymore, so you don't no longer need to live. In any event, the Gemara tells us that Novos died, and now this is this ruach that goes to Hashem and says, I'll go take care of my cousin Achav, and I'll go bring his downfall. And then, what does it mean in the pasuk when it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "V'yom b'tefate v'gam tuchol tzei v'aseichein"? Umay tzei, what does it mean, go tzei? So that's the drash that we had from Rav Yaakov, Barah, it should be Barah, not Bere, the Bas Yaakov. So he said, Amar Rav, tzei m'michitzasi, go and leave my mechitza. In other words, even though you're doing something which is appropriate, but you're causing Achav's downfall, I don't want somebody who's causing somebody else problems to be in my domain. And therefore, say, leave. So that's the raya, that when you cause somebody else's trouble, you are held accountable, even though it's appropriate. Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe in this situation, there's another reason why Hashem didn't want Novos, this ruach, around him, because he's going to go and put a false prophecy into the mouths of these Nevi'im and cause Achav's demise. So maybe that's it. The Dovri Shikarim, the fact that he spoke lies, lo yikon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't stand to have somebody there who speaks lies. Maybe it has nothing to do with the fact that he causes somebody else's downfall. Someone says, Taki, right? El Mihocha. This is the reason. Here we see the raya to Rav Yaakov. It's from the following pasuk, Sovata Kolomikova. Now, this pasuk is telling us some horrible things that Nebuchadnezzar did, and we'll discuss more about this as we go through this Gemara. So the pasuk says, Sovata Kolomikova. You've been filled up over here with shame rather than honor. With kolon is shame or a very bad thing, so rather than kovot. And therefore, shisei gamato veheorel vegomer, and you will drink, and your circumcision will be revealed to everybody. That's what we'll see what's going on in this pasuk. Now, this is a reference over here. The Navi Habakkuk is telling us about Nebuchadnezzar. He says to Nebuchadnezzar, "Sovata kolom mikavod." You're filled up with all this disgusting stuff, with this shame, rather than kavod. This is a reference to Zen Nebuchadnezzar, and shisei gamato veheorel. So this is a reference to Zet Zidkio. You can drink over here, you uncircumcised one, is a reference to somehow Zidkio. Why is he called the uncircumcised one? Because he caused Nebuchadnezzar to get punished. And therefore, since Nebuchadnezzar was the uncircumcised one, it's so to say we're told this on Zidkio. Now, what happened? We'll see that Nebuchadnezzar would shame all the kings that he subjugated by doing an act of Mishkav Zocher. He sodomized them. So therefore, Zidkio was the cause of Nebuchadnezzar getting into trouble. So therefore, he's held accountable, even though he had nothing to do with it. So Gemara says, that's ridiculous. Chod, the number one, the Kulei Krob and Nebuchadnezzar. You're making a mistake, number one, in darshaning that the second part of the pasuk, Shisei Gama Tove Yorel, is a reference to Tzidkio. It's also a reference to Nebuchadnezzar. That's number one. And number two, V'od, Tzidkio Tzadika. Tzidkio was a great person. His name wasn't Tzidkio. His name was, according to others, Matisyo. And why was he called Tzidkio? Because he was such a tzaddik. So, my Havelein Lemevedlein, he's held unaccountable for this act of Mishkav Zocher that Nebuchadnezzar tried to force upon him. What's he supposed to do? At that moment that Nebuchadnezzar wanted to commit this act of homosexuality with Tzidkio, so he did it to this tzaddik. So Tzidkio is called a tzaddik because he was totally unaccountable. He was totally onus. He was forced. He was raped. So therefore, you can't in any way hold him accountable. So that can't be the drasha that he was called Heorel because he caused the kolon to come onto Nebuchadnezzar. So it says, you're right, Taka. Elohecha, it's from the following pasuk. Gam enosh letzadik lo tov. To be the cause of punishment for a tzadik is not good. What does it mean? Ein lo tov el ra. Now, when it says lo tov, it means it's bad. Uksiv, ki lo kel chofetz resha. Otolo yigur chura. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want rishus. Don't be with ra. Tzadik ato Hashem, lo yagur b'mugur chora. This is darshan, saying Hashem is such a tzadik, and he can't stand to have anything around him that is not perfect. And therefore, this is called raw if you cause somebody else to be punished. Okay, so that's the real drasha. Now the Gemara says, my mashma, the high chaloshim lishno de puru. Again, I mentioned in the Mishnah, we specifically use this lashon of to divide up the chaloshim, the lottery, the poor that you're doing here, and we didn't use the lashon of mephis, of pious. How do we know that chaloshim means a lottery? Tichsiv, because it says over here, back in regards to Nebuchadnezzar, Eich nofalto mishamayim. How could you have fallen from Shamayim? Hillel ben Shachar. Hillel means somebody who's shining, and it means in the morning. Shachar is the morning. Nigdato lo'oretz. You have been cut down. Cholesh al goyim chule, because you did this lottery on the goyim. On Rabbi Bar Avuna, this is malame shoyamato poor agedoli malchus, that he did a lottery amongst all the kings. He subjugated all the kings of the world. He was a ruler over the whole world, and he did this lottery. Leida eze ben yomo shol mishkav zocher, which one of them today would be the person that he would subjugate and do mishkav zocher to? Horrible, horrible person that Nebuchadnezzar was. Furthermore, it says uksiv. It says all the kings, all the nations of the world were in this house, the Gomer. Rav Yochan said, Shenachu mi mishkav zochar, that they finally were no longer going to be subject to this mishkav zochar when Nebuchadnezzar died. Rav Yochan, he says furthermore, Kol yom shemos Russia, what did he do? This horrible person, this Nebuchadnezzar, this Russia, lo nimsa sechok befei kolbirya. Nobody was laughing when he was alive. He was such a horrible person. He caused such terror and destruction that nobody could smile while he was alive. Because we see the Shinema, because the pasuk says, Nacha, when he died, shakta kol haaretz patzurina. Only after he died and the earth became quiet, so then there was laughter, there was rina. The cloud, the adhashalavi rina. Until Nebuchadnezzar's death, there was no rina. A person is not allowed to stand in that horrible person's house even. Shinema, even after he's dead, Shneimar usirim yirachdu sham, that the shadim are going to dance over there. Rashi explains, only the shadim are allowed to be there. The seirim, they're allowed to. The demons are allowed to be there. Below anoshim, not people. Obishvil habrios mistalkin hamazikim. Because if people were to go there, then the seirim wouldn't want to be there. The seirim don't like to be around people, and therefore they would leave. V'nimtza mevatel gzeres hamelech. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I want the seirim to be there. I want his house to be uninhabited. And by you going there, you're causing the house to be inhabited by people and not with this seirim. And therefore you're going against my will. Therefore you're not allowed to go there. That's the way Rashi understands this. Others understand it that people shouldn't go there because it's dangerous. The Shadim will kill them. And that's why it says, Seir Mirak Dusham, but not people. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was a horrible, horrible person. At that time, when it was Nebuchadnezzar's trying to go and sodomize the Melitzikyo. So what happened? Before he could do his Rachmana Litzlan, his horrible action, Nimshecha Arla, so Shlosh Miyosama, his Arla, his foreskin stretched out, he was uncircumcised, and his foreskin stretched out 300 Amah. Gemara uses the term 300. In many places it says guzma. It's an exaggeration. And it means that it stretched out very far. And it stretched out so much that everybody else around there could see it. Shenemar, Savata kolami kavod. You're filled up over here with shame rather than with kavod. Shesei gamata veheyorel. In other words, you're drinking and your foreskin is going to extend out. Orel begamatria shlosh mios havi. And how much did it extend out? So play on the word orel, which the ayin is 70, the lamed is 30, that's 100, the reish is 200, so that's a gematria of 300, begamatria shlosh mios havi. So this is this allusion to this from the pasuk. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, b'shosh yoraid otzor rosh l'genim, when Nebuchadnezzar was finally taken from this world, the Kosh Baruch said enough is enough, and he taken from the world, and he brought him down to Gehenim. and he's riding to this day, Rashu kol yarda gehenim. All the other Rishayim in the Gehenim were scared. And they said, oh no, and here comes the Nebuchadnezzar, he's going to lord over us over here. Amru, Shemalim shalalayimuba. Maybe he's coming to lord over us over here in Gehenim. We remember how horrible he was in this world. And now he's going to do the same thing to us in Gehenim. So that's what they were saying. Or maybe, Olicholos kimosam huba. Or maybe not. Maybe he's just as weak as we are right now, and he's coming here to be punished just like we are. So that's what they were asking. Shenemar, Gam atochu leisa chamonu elenu nimsholta. Are you coming here to rule over us? Or are you coming here to be weak like us? So Yosef Zabasko v'yomisar Kosh Baruch Hu rang out and he said, Mimi no amta redov yeshkevo esar elim. Who, speaking to Nebuchadnezzar, who was more beautiful than you? Who was more powerful than you? But now you're Russia. Hoshkeva esar elim. Go down and be with all Rida. Go down. Hoshkeva esar elim. Go and be with all the other people like you that are Rishayim, and therefore you're going to be powerless down here as well. Gemara says, Ech shovas no geis shov so mateva. Gemara is describing Nebuchadnezzar. The pasuk says that his no geis, his oppressing other people, has stopped. He was Shavsa Marheva, the golden one, has stopped. Marheva is a lotion of Zohav, the Dalit and the Zayin are interchangeable from Aramaic to Hebrew. So I'm Yudam Arav, Shavsa Uma Zu Sha'amra, this nation, Bavel, has stopped. Which means, we turn to the Amud Aleph, Midod V'Havei. In other words, he used to be called Matheva because he would say, measure out and bring to me all your gold. Medod, Moz, Vedin Rezov, Vahave. So he would take huge taxes and huge demand a huge tribute from everybody else. Finally, if you could the Amri, others say no. It means Shamra Ma'od Ma'od Havi. Then it means go bring me lots of gold below Mida without any Mida. That's what it means, Mateva without any Mida. Finally, the pasuk says the last thing about Nebuchadnezzar, the Russia, Revu Yatira Husfasli, additional greatness was given to me. What does that mean? I'm Revu Dama Rav Yemir Yom Rabba Melamed Sherochav Al Ari Zohar, that he rode, Nebuchadnezzar rode on a lion, on a male lion, a powerful lion, the Kosher Tanim Rosho, and he wrapped around a tanin, a snake, around the lion and use it like as the rein for the lion. What does this pasuk mean? I allowed Nebuchadnezzar to be very powerful, that even the animals served Nebuchadnezzar. That's what a big rush he was, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him such power in this world, but he was eventually horribly punished, and lo and behold, he'll be in Gehenna. With this, we conclude today's shiur.